hot seat.
Hello. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. So we are going to go and talk through a few things that you've done with your time.
Yeah.
And I believe, obviously, most people know you for Red Squirrel agents.
I get called the Red Squirrel Charlie a lot. On the Isle of Wight, I think that's my surname, to be honest.
Sounds like you can make an animated series out of that.
I probably could, to be fair.
Yeah. That's the next big idea.
Yeah, next series for the Isle of Wight.
Yeah. So, just tell us a little bit about Red Squirrel. When did you start, and how things been? I know you've got some awards recently as well.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, we started a long time ago now, 2012. So we are a little bit in.
12 years.
12 years. Isn't it? Sorry, I didn't even realise. So 12 years. But yeah, it's been a whirlwind. Obviously, the growth's been phenomenal. This year's been a few changes. Yeah, we've I bought a building that we can move Red Squirrel into, so it's a nice big building so we can enjoy the scale, because obviously we do stuff around the country.
Yeah, so you've moved from your normal spot in Powell Street,
yes,
and you've moved just a little bit further down the road, to be
literally
honest.
Literally down Powell Street,
yeah,
but just in Langley Court, so we've got loads of space. We just outgrew it, you know. I didn't have a desk for 9 months, and Stuart didn't have a desk, so the directors didn't even have a space to sit in their own business. So now there's loads of space. We've got boardrooms, meeting rooms, all sorts of things.
Nice.
So it's pretty cool. And then, yeah, from the awards front, look, we don't really do what we do for awards, but it's always
no, but it shows
lovely.
You're doing
it's
something
nice.
Good, and there's obviously some works that people seem to appreciate the service.
I mean, from a letting side, this isn't an award you can enter either, but we got in the top 5% of the UK, which no company on the Isle of Wight has done, and I don't mean that in a boastful way. It just hasn't, and it does come from the passion.
You know,
we are landlords ourselves, most of us. So when we look after people's properties, it's about how do I want that.
Yeah.
And that's worked. You know, Liam, our lettings manager, he also got shortlisted as best letting manager in the UK. There's 12,500 estate agents, plus the branches, plus, you know, so it's pretty good times at the moment. We're enjoying it. We just keep doing what we do and do it for the right reasons, really.
Nice. Another thing you said that you like to, you do it for the community.
Yeah.
So one of the things that has been really big focus on Red Squirrel is actually doing stuff for the community as well as the estate agency side of things and so forth.
I don't know the amount we've actually raised for the Isle of Wight community, but it's definitely more than 150 grand in the last 8 years. So we're quite big on it. And actually, the money side is probably the smaller part. As Nick, you said you were involved in a charity before, you'll know we always get involved. So it's not just Red Squirrel. If a charity's listening to this and they come to me and ask me for money, it's more about how can we engage with you and how can we give you, you know, get you some sort of leverage over the community so people can see what you're doing, rather than you just get a check off us for however much.
So
we get involved, which isn't always good for me.
I absolutely support that. When I was at Age UK, you guys were always really involved and supported us on lots of our events.
Not good for my heart rate, though. It's normally me that gets roped into stuff. And obviously, I love supporting communities. I think from a very young age, I always had the bit that whatever I do, so naturally my businesses do, is always about supporting people around you and giving back. Any talk people see me do around the world, I always have slides at the end about giving back. Make money, if you do well at something, it doesn't have to be money, just support.
And so
it's really big, and Red Squirrel absolutely do that for our community.
Well, I don't think the other day I saw of you doing a bike ride.
I've done all sorts. We done over 200. See, I forget.
I'm paying attention.
I've done 40 miles of that 200 as well. But so we've done 200 miles for Trussell Trust, which is obviously food banks for the Isle of Wight and everything. I've got a few things coming up. We took 22 of us to Tough Mudder for the hospice.
I really wish that I'd actually joined you for that.
You did want it. You probably
should. I did want to. I'll come along for the next one.
I reckon you'll be all right next time. See, we've got loads. And I've got some things in the pipeline. I've got Mount Tuchel, Mont Blanc. I have applied for a world record, which is going to be hard, but I haven't found out if it's authorised by Guinness World Records yet.
So to be announced.
To be announced when I get authorisation.
And I think just worth mentioning there, you've just talked about climbing mountains and you've done zip wires and things, and you've just told us that you don't particularly like heights.
I hate heights.
Yeah.
So I think that was
do you know what? That was actually Age UK's fault initially, because one of the ladies there found out I didn't like heights, so she suggested I do a couple of height-related things. And what turns out is people always engage more when you do stuff you don't like.
Yeah.
which weird doesn't
that, isn't it? It's like they certainly
pay more to sponsor you, don't they? Yeah,
it's not really logical, but that's how our brains work. Someone did interestingly write on my LinkedIn, one of my acquaintances up in London, he said, Charlie, I think you should just do a sit still for a while sponsored thing. I actually think you might raise more money doing that.
Yeah, I think it'd be more of a culture shock to see you actually
that struggle with.
The thing is though, it's just like, well, if you remember times like lockdown and stuff, anyone that actually stopped, there were so many people that just had to still keep themselves busy with half a dozen things.
100%. Yeah. I mean, gosh, I'm that's my weakness, is sitting still. But I love it. I can't do it. I love doing things. I'll always get involved. Obviously, some people will know I'm on the board for the hospice. You know, I will always get involved and I will always support anything around me. So I'm my own worst nightmare. I'm not very good at saying no. My 13 challenges in 10 months, really only started with one.
Yeah.
And then it escalated rapidly.
Well, I remember inviting you for a coffee. And you didn't say no to me on that one either.
I don't say no. Well, yeah, I do say no to some things. But I'll always be open. I'll always make time for people.
Suddenly you're going to have loads of text messages asking you questions. And
do you know what? I did this at a talk a couple of weeks ago in Cornwall. And part of my advice to people was about an investment. And if you only have like £50 a month spare, the best investment you can make is actually taking people in your environment who have done well or done something you want to do. Offer them to go out for lunch or something, you pay for them. That's the best investment you can do. Take them for a coffee. They say 6 a.m, you go at 6 a.m. And I done Q&A at the end, and nearly all of them put their hands up. Can we go for a coffee? I was like, oh, no, I'm not kidding.
So your diary's just filled up.
I did that talk at 9:30 in the morning, and I went to bed at 11:30 at night. It was I did say it, so I had to stick to my word.
So I'm intrigued about these talks you do, because I didn't know you did this. So what exactly are you covering?
It's not something I really promote on the island, but yeah, so I do mindset related, a lot of that around the world, property, naturally. I got three industry leader awards in Europe for property, so naturally I get paid for the property side. And then I do a lot of business structure, you know, how to scale, how to structure businesses. Mm-hmm. But most of it, whether it's property or business, always comes back to mindset.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what I'm talking about. If it's property, there's mindset involved in it.
Yeah.
Business mindset. So yeah, most of it is like summarizing, probably mindset related.
Mm-hmm. Almost like a flick a switch.
Yeah, different scenarios. Just ways of doing things, you know. Yeah. And I've been doing that unintentionally, really, for 10 years. I didn't realize that's what I was doing at the start. Mm. I just used to get paid to go and talk places.
Mm.
But I didn't really see that as a thing. But now I love it. You know, if I go in a room and someone takes something, I've done a good job. And I do a lot of it at schools and colleges. If I'm in an area, like the talk I done a couple of weeks ago, I reached out to some of the local schools there. So I thought, if I'm doing a talk and pay to be there anyway, the next morning I'll go and do a talk in a couple of the schools.
Yeah.
And if I can inspire someone in that, then brilliant. If they don't like me, then they don't like me.
Well, this is it. You're most probably going to speak to a whole hall. Half the room are going to be like, well, that didn't do anything for me. Well, that's fine. The next talk might, but then the one you've actually done, it appeals to the other half. Well, even if it's just one person, but like you said,
I think about really my son. You know, I've got a 3-year-old who's nearly four, and hopefully I inspire him, right? But not all parents will inspire their kids, because we know what kids are like. They want to do their own thing. Yeah, kids want to do their own thing. You know, their dad and mum aren't always the coolest person. So I always look at that.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work. And if my son's at school in 12, 13, 14, 15, whatever age, and there's someone that comes in that school that just inspires him to do something different about his life, then I like that. So that's why I don't mind when they ask me to go. I'm like, look, I don't, you know, if it's charity talks or schools, I never charge. I'll go
and I
for
think
free.
The wonderful thing is they might not even know you've inspired them in that moment.
Yeah, yeah.
But 5 years later, an opportunity something will, you know, ring a bell and they'll think, oh, that guy said about this.
Yeah, that's it. So that's so why fantastic. I don't mind doing it. Because I just think about Otis, you know, my son, and I just think, if someone done that for him.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about you guys, but when I was at school, I didn't see anyone ever.
Mm. Yeah.
Do that. I'm like, well, yeah, so I always offer. If I'm doing a talk somewhere, it doesn't matter if it's in Barcelona or Cornwall or wherever, I will always reach out to local schools or charities in the area if I'm there and just say, look, I will come and talk for free for you.
Brilliant.
If I'm there.
Well, it sounds like your good spirit's been well rewarded. I said, the success is. Well, it seems from my point of view that you do anyway, and it's great to see. And again, if there's more people that have that kind of approach, it'd be even better world to be in. And it's great to see, obviously, all the money you've raised, money just for all the different community charities. but as well as, obviously, I know you've got a very personal attachment to Zoe's Law.
100%, yeah. And that's a frustrating battle, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys obviously are community-led station, so you know the challenges you get. But
with
Zoe's Law, it is really frustrating because it's a very simple law we're trying to change that isn't actually going to cost any real money to anyone. The problem we get, and I don't mind saying this because I'm a direct guy, but lots of people get sad about Zoe's story, lots of people cry about Zoe's stories, lots of people talk about it and share it. People are quite lazy when it comes to signing it.
Yeah.
Very lazy.
So for anyone who's listening who doesn't know Zoe's story, very briefly.
So, yeah, well, long story short, Zoe found out she had cancer at the very start of COVID, melanoma, and she died 55 days later.
That was no time at all.
Yeah, it's been found in negligence. So it is negligence that she had a 94% chance of living in excess of 88 years old.
Wow.
We only got that information 3 months ago. Took 4 years of stuff with the courts and that to establish these things. But yeah, it's quite frustrating for us because we just want to get the law changed that anyone who gets a skin tag taken off, shaved, whatever, legally has to be tested.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to change the whole... I'd love to change how everything works from the GP upwards, but look, we're not... Let's be honest, that's going to be a tough...
That's a bigger challenge.
That's a bigger challenge, whereas doing that is enough. And I met someone from the hospice, a senior person, last week who had... this year and last year the same experience my sister had. Luckily for her, because she knew about my sister, she pushed it. She had melanoma, but she got fobbed off and they cut it off and they didn't test it,
yeah,
so she had to make them go and test.
Remind us, how old was Zoe
was
died?
26, she should still be here now, you know. She's got two little boys, Theo and Toby, and so all I need from people really is just search Zoe's Law. There's a link tree. Watch the video. If you watch that video then you will sign. But people get a little bit lazy. I think they get to the point where, oh, I've got to pin personal details. By the way, takes 20 seconds.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I'll do it later.
So
reminder, this could have been any one of us.
Any one of us at any time. When I, last week, I got so frustrated when I met the lady from the hospice who had that very experience. And I'm thinking, how can that still happen
after
all of everything that's gone on in the last few years?
So where can they go to obviously sign this petition?
The easiest way to find it is if you just write in Google Linktree Zoe's Law, then it'll give you everything. Petition, video, anything you want to share, like more the merrier, because it is tough. Any charity has a hard time of it, and Zoe's Law is a long old battle for us.
Well, you've opened my eyes a little bit myself, you know. Getting into my 40s, I'm noticing skin tags popping up everywhere. A lot of people talk about getting the cotton wool, cotton reels, and it's doing it yourself and things like that. But it's serious to me that, actually, do you know what?
Yeah.
No, it needs to be done properly. I never really thought about it in that way that you said.
This lady who I'm on about, and I won't name her names, I don't know if I'm allowed to, but, you know, if she didn't know about Zoe's story, she would have had the same experience as Zoe's story. She would have found out when it's too late.
Yeah.
Now, because she obviously comes across me a lot because of the hospice,
they're
aware of these stories and obviously pushed it. And she did have melanoma.
Yeah.
You know, and she would have had the same experience as my sister and just woken up and been too late and she would die.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
My sister had 55 days to say and plan and say goodbye to her boys and family in COVID, in lockdown. It wasn't good enough, you know. She was let down.
Yeah.
So people need to get these things checked out properly.
Yes.
And also obviously support Zoe's Law by getting online and signing the petition.
It's not an expensive change for the government. It actually doesn't really cost any money for them to test them. So
well, let's hope that's something we can actually get move forward for you. And it's brilliant that you're doing it, and it's such a good cause. So it's been,
and a great way to remember your sister.
Yes. She's I mean, gosh, we talk about her all the time, to be fair. So with the good, the bad and the ugly, but look, we'll keep her memory going.
Yeah.
And like I said, we know it saved people because there's over 1,000 people that reached out. But, you know, so at least she hasn't died for no reason. But we need to change the law.
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer there's always a positive in every negative. It's just whether you want to find it or not.
100%.
So,
you know.
Yeah. No, brilliant. It's been wonderful to have you in the studio with us today.
Huh?
And you know what? I think we could have talked a lot longer, and maybe one day we can have you back in to talk a little bit more.
Would you promise if you get to go ahead with the world record, you'll come and tell us?
I should find out in the next few weeks. It's a tough one.
I'm intrigued now. Yeah. We need
it's a
to
tough
know.
One. 100%, I'll come back.
We'll keep our eyes open for it.
Yeah.
But no, that's great. Fantastic to have you in the studio. And we're moving on. We've got some more music from Chapel